tell, this is a special Sunday. Karl Barth, a theologian, and I wrote about him recently in one of the column articles, said this: on Sunday morning, when the church bells ring to call the congregation and minister to church, there is an air of an expectancy that something great, crucial, and even momentous is going to happen. How strong this expectancy is has to do with the people in attendance. And then he talks about preaching and reading the Word of God and preparation, and then he continues. And then the minister will have the congregation sing ancient songs full of weighty and weird memories, struggles and triumphs of the long departed mothers and fathers, all leading to the edge of an immeasurable event. All, whether the minister and people understand what they are singing or not, full of reminiscences of God, always of God. God is present. God is present. The whole situation witnesses, cries, simply shouts of it. God is present. The songs today and the readings today are about the happiest in the Bible. The psalmist tells us that even if we humans do not respond to God, we learn that all of the earth will respond to God and make a joyful noise to the Lord. And even the earth will break into joyous song and sing praises. The sea roars, the floods clap their hands, the hills and trees clap and sing for joy at the presence of God. The psalmist tells us to sing a new song daily, every day, a new song for what the Lord has done for us. Sing praises to the Lord with the harp. Sing praises to the Lord with all the instruments. Sing praises to the Lord with trumpets and the sound of the horn, but make a joyful noise. In 2 Chronicles, and just think how many thousands of years ago this happened. In 2 Chronicles, it was recorded that when worship began, the song to the Lord began also with trumpets accompanied by the instruments of David. Just think of a whole symphony orchestra. The instruments of David, the whole assembly worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And the people did so with gladness as they worshipped God. Fast forward a little bit, but still 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and what did Paul say? Be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms, and you sing hymns, and make melody to the Lord in your heart. Why? To give thanks to God the Father for everything at all times. And that takes us to the book of Revelation, written perhaps 60 years after Jesus died. And the last line of the passage is, and the elders fell down and worshipped. Picture, if you can, what the author of Revelation was trying to get across. Everybody was there holding a harp. We have that picture of people in a cloud, you know, holding a harp. And there's golden bowls of incense. But the golden bowls of incense are not just the bowls. They are the prayers of the saints. And what does St. Paul call of us? Each of us is a saint. So these heavenly bodies are singing a new song every hour. The new song is directed at Jesus because they're from the saints of every tribe and every nation and every people and every language. And the author of Revelation says, he heard a voice of many angels, of thousands and thousands and thousands, singing with full voice. And this morning we are hearing full voice. But what were they singing? They were singing that Jesus himself was worthy to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And the author heard this from every creature, because every creature in heaven and on earth, under the earth and under the sea and all that is in them, was singing. Every creature, even if people do not want to sing, the earth itself cries out to the Lord. At Christmas time on TV, and in us in attendance, we go to huge concerts, multiple choirs, and coming together with musicians. And these are the pictures that are painted by the writers of Scripture. For them, worship is singing. An author, Eric Heen, wrote about this passage in Revelation, and what Eric said was this: one of the sacramental signs, again, sacramental signs of the early church, was that worship brought together those who were other separated by the highly segregated Greco-Roman world. And just think of that. You know, right now we think of our world as being somewhat disparate and people disagreeing. But just think of that world at that time. But yet in church, before the cross, you had slaves and free, Jews and Greeks, men, women, haves and have-nots, those with honor and those culturally inscribed with shame, very important at those times, and the pure and the impure. It was a diverse, multicultural community to come together to worship and to sing together as the body of Christ. And what were they singing? The same thing we're singing now. The praise of the victory of the Lamb and the revelation of God's judgment, regardless of the socioeconomic values of the empire. And I think Eric was right in what he wrote. So we have come together today, 2012, to worship. To worship as the peoples worshiped in Chronicles. To worship as the psalmist called people to worship. To worship as Paul called the people in the church of Ephesus to worship. To worship as the author of Revelation did. All come together to worship our great God. All of them singing. And that's what we're doing this morning. And we will continue with the meal at Holy Communion. As part of who we are in church, is we also pray. And singing is praying. But now we call to mind those specifically who have requested prayer. We call to mind Norrell Jacob's family. He passed away on August 12th. Services were held. We celebrate the births. The birth of Luke Alexander Iskowski, son of Max and Erica, grandson of Dennis and Marge, born on August 6th. We celebrate the birth of Anna Elizabeth Quinlan, daughter of Michael and Catherine Quinlan, granddaughter of Mark and Sue Betcher, born on August 10th. Recovering at home is Carolyn Jacobus, and recovering at congregational home is Doris Squire. In our prayers are Kathy Collis, Brian Guscio, and Edna Milne. I had the blessing of meeting with about a week ago with Doris Squire and Edna and Kathy Collis, and I can share with you, I don't think Harry is here today, I can share the message of the family. Kathy's cancer is spreading, and spreading rapidly, and Harry was hoping to attend the services, and he wanted me to express to you the gratitude that he and Kathy have for the tremendous amount of outpouring of love, prayer, and assistance that you are giving the Collis family. Let us pray for ourselves. Sometimes we fail to do that. And sometimes we just have to look to God and say, listen, Lord, I have prayers for myself. We pray for those next to us. We pray for those intentions that are deep in their hearts that they don't want to share with us. And we have, of course, the prayers of the nation and the prayers of the world. People suffering down south from the floods. We learned this morning that 2,000 people were evacuated. A lot of suffering in this world. So let us pray for all those intentions deep in our hearts, but as well as the blessings that we have received. Let us now pray in silence.